Yes. Yeah, take one more and that's it. And then we can have a question and answer.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Aha. Yes, sir.
Μακάρι οι πραείς, ότι αυτοί κληρονομήσουσι την γην.
Κληρονομήσου τη γη. That's a very interesting statement. Blessed are the meek. This blessedness that we talk about, that will never be taken away from you. It cannot be taken away from you. You have to be meek. Praeis. What's that about? What does that mean? Well, the Greeks, the ancient Greek, has different terms of humility. Ταπείνωσις is another term. Praeis is someone who understands that he or she is not the center of the universe. Is not the the person who in some ways has entitlements. You know, it's the very opposite of the arrogant person, the prideful person, who he or she believes that the world owes them something, just for being alive. It's called the sense of entitlement. And unfortunately, we see that in the generation called the millennials. They have been taught in the houses, and particularly I see it in Greece, with the Yanaki syndrome. The Yanaki syndrome is,
Μάλιστα Yanaki μου, τι θέλεις?
Εγώ θέλω τα παπούτσια σήμερα.
Μάλιστα Yanaki μου, τι θέλεις?
The Yanaki syndrome. Yanaki gets whatever he wants. You know, his five-year-old, six-year-old, whenever Yanaki wants, he will get it. Okay? And then what happens to Yanaki is that he becomes a millennial and he's constantly demanding things. And when he goes out into the world and the world doesn't give him his entitlements, then he or she, right now it's happening in the United States, they need in the universities what is known as safe spots, trigger spots. They need to be, they don't want to hear anything, they don't want to hear. If they get a speaker coming along, let's say, who supports Donald Trump. I mean, I'm not being political here, I'm giving an example. They don't want to hear anybody supporting Donald Trump. They need safe space because they feel offended. On the other side, if you're a supporter of Donald Trump and somebody comes along and speaks about the opposition parties, you go away from them. You don't want to hear it because you get upset. You need safe space. And they create safe space in the universities in the United States where you go and hide. If you get a speaker or you go to a lecture and they say something you don't like, you get up and you say, I am offended by what you said, I am leaving for safe space. It's happening right now. Millennials. Because they've been spoiled in the house. Whatever they wanted when they were 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-olds, mama ke papa gave it to them. And so, instead of hearing Ohi Yanaki, Ohi, you make him stronger. You make him more able to survive. You don't give him a sense of arrogance eventually. You don't give him a sense of entitlement. This, I'm entitled to this because I am Yanaki. He will understand, she will understand eventually that the world is not like that. There are days that you will get, days you will lose. There are days that will be given, days that will be taken away. And it's not going to break you. You're not going to run away to safe spaces because there are no safe spaces in the real world. You have to deal with it yourself. I see it in Africa that what the average African woman has to put up with, the typical European woman would break down. She would not be able to put up with it. What makes the African woman so strong is that she knows that she has to live with only $2 a day, and she knows she has to survive with $2 a day and take care of her children with $2 a day. So if she gets less than $2 a day, she's prepared for it. She's not going to have a mental breakdown. If her husband runs away, she's not going to have a mental breakdown. She's going to work out ways of taking care of her children. Why? Because from the very beginning when she was born, there was no entitlement. She didn't believe the world owes her something. There was nothing entitled to her. She had nothing. And so she doesn't grow up thinking, well, I have my rights. You owe me this. I'm entitled to this. I need my safe space now because I'm offended. It doesn't work that way. You see? So, blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek. You see, blessed are those who have no sense of entitlement. You know, they have no sense of, you owe me. You must respect me. You have to show me dignity. All these things. You know, sometimes, may forgive me, but sometimes we give in the church so many extraordinary titles. You know what my title is? Archimandritis. Do you know what my title is? Anybody know what the title for an Archimandriti is? Pan Osiologiotate. He who speaks the holiest words. I don't speak the holiest words all the time. But that title can affect the way I think unless I can control it. The other thing is, we sometimes call people with such high, like makariotate. Of course, it's a sign, it's a tradition, we understand all that. But again, we've seen today that makarios is a particular blessedness that comes from particular actions. So sometimes we can give people a sense of entitlement by the way we refer to them and they expect it and so forth and so on. So that's not meekness. That's not meekness. Meekness is you have no sense of entitlement. You don't believe anybody owes you anything. You don't have a feeling that you must be given respect at all times. You must be taken seriously at all times. When you speak, you must be heard. No, that's not praise. That's the opposite of praise. So we need to and the promise. Let's see what the promise is. If you are meek, what will God give you? You shall inherit, yes sir.
I shall inherit the earth.
You will inherit the earth. Wow. Κληρονομήσουμε τη γη, δεν λέει.
Ότι αυτή κληρονομήσουσε την γη.
Τη γη. Wow. That sounds good. Right? I don't have a sense of entitlement. I don't expect people to respect me. I don't have a sense that, you know, you need to always to show me respect or whatever it is. I can put up with insults, I can put up with epitimesis without worrying about, you know, my position or whatever. No problem. You don't like me. You insult me. That's your business, okay? But I'm not going to get upset about it. I'm not going to answer back. I'm not going to get involved in the cycle of anger, okay? I'm going to step away from it and let you have the anger. I'm just going to step away from it. That's all, right? Meekness. Right? Meekness. You shall inherit the earth. Now, inheriting the earth, when the Israelites were in a state of exile, no house, no home, they were in Egypt, or they were wandering in the Sinai desert, the Lord promised them that they shall inherit the land, the ye, of Israel, Haaretz Yisrael, which Haaretz is the Yi. The Greek word Yi in Hebrew is Haaretz, the earth. Which earth? That part called Israel. You shall inherit it. You shall have it. It's a sort of the idea of be patient. Your time will come. Your reward will come. And there will be a time of reckoning, and you shall inherit the earth. You shall be given that which I have promised you, because you have obeyed me. So it doesn't necessarily mean property. Doesn't mean it's an idea. The idea of the land, ha'aretz, which means God's ultimates. God gave me this land. This land is mine. God has given me this land, the land of Israel. The Israelites would cry out. And when they were given over to the land of Babylon, by the rivers of Babylon, we cried because we were so far away from Zion. They still had land in Babylon, but it wasn't the ha'aretz, the land. They needed to get back to the land that God had given them. And then they would be happy again. Okay? So this is the idea behind this, that blessed are you who are meek, not entitlement people, because you shall receive God's promise. The land is like another way of saying the promise of God shall be real for you. It shall be tangible. It's not going to be abstract. You shall inherit the land of milk and honey. All right? You shall inherit the ha'aretz, the land, which in Greek is iyi. All right, I think I'll stop here, Holy Fathers. And it's 4:28. Perhaps we can open it up to discussions or questions or observations. We can even talk about the mission if you wish. It's up to you. Okay. Now, I have visual problems, so please forgive me if I'm looking at the wrong person.
Father, I've got a question regarding, you said to suffer for people that you see they're in trouble. Now, if you see somebody who's got a broken leg or something, yes, you can suffer for them. But if you see somebody that you know is sinning, how do you avoid judging that person so you can feel sorry for them?
Yep. Look, judge not lest ye be judged. Okay? The safest journey, my brother, the safest spiritual journey is not to judge. However, in other words, don't in your mind believe that you are better than the person whom you have concluded is sinning. It may be so. It may be so that you are more spiritual, but you are not to put that on board. You are not to take that on board. What you are to take on board is that I am a sinner, and obviously this person is a sinner too, because we're all sinners. If I can help him, I will help him. But the minute you approach it from the other perspective, that I am sinless, or I am superior to you, I am a moral supremacist, and you are a poor little sinner, you've lost the game, mate. You've lost the game. Okay? The way forward for that, my friend, is that I am a sinner, he is a sinner. Fine. We're okay now. There's no judgment. There's no condemnation. You will help that person much better. Why? Because he or she will see you coming to him not in any way to gloat inside of you. Oh, look, he's a sinner. Look what he's doing. I want to come and help you. No, you don't. He knows that. He knows you just come to gloat and to feel superior because he's sinner and you are not sinning the same sin. He knows that. They can feel that. It's a radar system. Okay? But the radar system, which honestly works, if you want to convert someone, to bring them out of sin, it works, right? Is where you approach that person in that state of lowliness, and in a state of equality. I am just as sinful as they are. I can give you examples of that from the Holy Fathers. the one that is told of the Maria, the young girl whose uncle is a monk, and she joins him in ascetic life, and he trains her to become a very holy girl and a young woman who is truly extremely ascetical and holy. And then one day the devil comes, and he's disguised himself as a very handsome young man, and sweet talks her and manages to tempt her, and then makes her fall. And so she leaves now and goes into, she becomes a prostitute. And she's gone from a holy woman to becoming a prostitute, okay? Now, the uncle is the spiritual, her spiritual father, is in shock. He's mourning for her. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So what happens now? Well, he throws out his monastic robe. He puts on secular robes, secular dress, and he goes straight to the place of the prostitutes, as if he is a client. Watch this. As if he's a client. This is a holy man. Right? How low can you go? I wouldn't be able to do that. Honestly. I can't do that. What if they see me? What if somebody... Yes, but you're going to help someone. No, I know, but I can't do it. I'm telling you, I cannot do it. Myself. But that would be the perfect lowliness. Humbling yourself to the point of appearing as if you are a sinner, but you're not. Going into the place of the prostitutes and asking to be going to the place of that particular room where that young girl is. How can you do that? I mean, imagine the dropi, the shame, the what if somebody sees me, and how can I explain this? Imagine what they will think, blah, blah, blah. He doesn't care about that. He's so meek that the only thing he's worried about is no judgment here. He loves her, and he wants her out of there. And he will lower himself even to the point of letting people think that he's gone in for a prostitute. And he does it. And he pays money. And they lead him to the room where that young lady is. And then he goes in. And then he reveals himself to her. And he starts talking to her, explaining to her, what are you doing here? Come back. You can still be with me. I will repent for you. I will show you how to get back. He took her out. He took her out. No problem. Okay, why? Because his approach was incredibly meek. Had his approach been, you know, you go outside that place with a microphone. Herb, would Maria please come out with her hands up, you know? Who's going to come out? Nobody's going to come out. You see? So, it's very difficult. But we need to be, by the way, I'm not encouraging anybody to be doing things like that. But I am saying, as an extreme example from the Holy Fathers, how sometimes this lowliness of mind is that you don't care what other people think of you. You have the fools for Christ, the fools, Isalito Christou, who do strange acts to be mocked at so that they can never be praised. They can never get respect. They don't want respect. They don't want praise. They want to be laughed at. Okay? They are the meek. They are the meek.